Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today, my special guest is Bernard Cummings, Associate Professor of Theater and Head of Undergraduate Theater Recruitment at Southern Methodist University. Thanks so much for joining us, Bernard.
Thank you for inviting me, Tim.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program. So if we could start with you telling us a little bit about you and your training and experiences that led you up to your time at SMU.
Well, that's a long answer to that one. But no, I started off and I went to a very, very, very small high school in East Texas. We had about 25 graduating students in my class. And we did a one-act play in high school, but it was for a lot of fun. But I decided to go to Tyler Junior College because it was near home. I really liked the place. I really liked the theater department. I went there intending to major in radio and television broadcasting. And I was standing in line to register. And this wonderful lady, I struck up this conversation with this wonderful lady, Eileen Garrett. And she was like, have you ever done a play? Have you ever done theater? And I'm like, yeah, in high school, but just, you know, once a semester. She goes, when we finish registering, I want you to follow me down to the theater. And I did. I met everyone. They were completely wonderful. So I auditioned for a play. I got cast. And then I said, so maybe this has some future in it. And then I auditioned for SMU. And I got into the BFA program, and I thought, okay. And then after SMU, I thought, I'm not ready yet to go out into the world. I really don't quite know what I'm doing. I still feel like the phrase I used was, I felt like unbaked bread. I felt like bread that was in the oven that had gotten a nice beige color, but wasn't quite done yet. So I was doing some research, and I just happened to find this article in an Ebony magazine about Lloyd Richards and August Wilson at the Yale School of Drama. And I thought, who are these two African-American men at Yale School of Drama, and one's the dean? And so I just felt compelled that I needed to go study with these African-American men, but at this, you know, at this great institution, great place. And so I auditioned, I got in, and I thought, huh. So from Tyler Junior College to SMU to the Yale School of Drama was my training. And then I have lived in New York now for the past 26 years. So I'm back and forth between New York and Dallas. So that's how I got into acting, was sort of backed into it because of Eileen Garrett, and just kept saying, I wonder if, and it just kept going.
Wow.
I don't know if that answered your question, but that's exactly how it happened.
So how long have you been at SMU?
I've been at SMU now for 10 years. Going on 11 this fall. Yeah.
Great. So tell us, I always ask my guests to give me their elevator speech, their elevator pitch on their program at the school. So you're putting me on the spot here, 60 yeah. seconds or less. Tell us about the theater program at SMU.
We are basically a conservatory inside of a liberal arts university. So our kids are getting great conservatory training while they are doing their UC courses. We have an undergrad BFA and a grad MFA. And that's our department sort of in a nutshell in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you're going to ask me more specific questions.
I'm going to ask you so much more. Yes, absolutely. So let's break down what that undergraduate degree is first. You have a BFA in theater studies, it's called, right?
We have two tracks for the actors, which I find the most unique thing about our program in specific for undergrads. We have two tracks, the acting track and the theater studies track, or I call it the acting theater studies track. The acting track is for the actor who knows that for all 4 years they want to train as an actor in our conservatory specifically. The acting theater studies track is for the actor who wants to train as an actor for all 4 years, but also has an interest in directing or playwriting. And so therefore in the junior year, they're all one class together for the freshman and sophomore years. And then in the junior years, the two tracks split. The acting track continues on with its coterie of acting training classes. So does acting theater studies. However, we remove upper level voice, speech, and movement and replace those with directing and playwriting. So you're still an actor. You're just an actor who loves to playwright and direct And sometimes even all of our actors go through stage management. We don't have a stage management program, so they're all responsible for ASMing a show, and sometimes for SMing a show. And they mm-hmm. find they have a really wonderful skill that they can go out and do when they're out in the world and they don't have to wait tables, as it were. But those mm-hmm. are the two tracks that we have for our undergraduate actors to explore, whether you want to explore just completely acting training in the conservatory or acting and directing and playwriting, one or the other in a combination of. But you're still an actor. Okay. You're just writing and directing.
Wonderful. And tell us about... the musical theater minor, where did that go?
Well, we, again, where did it go? We used to have a musical theater minor, but we decided a couple of years ago that we wanted to retool it. It's a great component of the program, but we wanted to retool it to make it more specified. And so we took it off of the pedagogy, if you will, for the next couple of years while we relook at it, retool it. But right now we are focused and concentrated on what we do very, very well, I would say, prejudiced, and that is teaching acting. And so that's where we're focused right now as we re-examine and relook at that MT minor and possibly bring it back in a couple of years. But right now, just concentrating on what we do well, and then looking at what we can do with an MT minor that actually gives the student the tools that they need to work their musical theater chops along with their theater chops.
So are there opportunities to do things like voice lessons and dance classes?
Oh yeah, we have actors. We have a lot of actors who were in musical theater in high school, elementary. Some have been doing it since they were five, and they're like, I just want to concentrate on my acting. But being here, we do have a wonderful music department. And when our actors can sing, they go audition for them. And 9.9 times out of 10, the music department says, yes, yes, yes. And so they take a music voice class in the music department. And also we have many grads in the music department taking voice in many different areas of voice. And so they would do student teaching. And so they would take a couple of our undergrads under their wing with student teaching. And so the actors get a chance to still work their musical chops, their singing chops, with this person who's working on their master's or PhD in music and in voice. As well as we also, theaters come to us and audition, like Dallas Theater Center, for example. And we have kids who are going to be in the upcoming production of The Sound of Music. And we also have kids who do the same thing with dance. They will do a dance audition for the dance faculty, and if they have the legs, as it were, to do it, they have to squeeze it in, but they can take a dance class. Mm-hmm. And so for our actors who have done a lot of musical theater, it's great for them because it keeps their feet in the musical theater world, as it were, but it's not overwhelming. It allows them to work on their acting and then go spend a couple hours every other day working on their singing chops or dancing chops. And so that's really fantastic. So they do have those opportunities, not only in the community, like with Jubilee Theater or Dallas Theater Center, the Undermain, when they do a musical, but also what the opportunities that they have in the music department to work with a grad student or even to work with faculty. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other minors available underneath the theater umbrella?
No. As a matter of fact, I think that's pretty much it. The minors that our kids usually choose are outside of the theater. Many of them double major, have a minor. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great that that's available to them. A lot of kids these days, when I say that, I make myself sound so old. When
I know the feeling.
are asking a lot about the ability to work in or get training in film on both sides of the camera. Do you do or incorporate any on camera or behind the camera classes in your training?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, we have a workshop coming up very soon with two guys who are coming in from New York to host an on-camera workshop, but it's something that we're adding more into our program, a very dedicated class to acting on film. And
wonderful.
But also our senior year, we have a class called Business and Professional Aspects, which I also teach. And basically that's a semester of let's get your headshots, where we hire a photographer to come in and take headshots. We work on the resume, and we also do online workshops with them, how to do an audition, especially a virtual audition, as things are happening these days and will continue to happen in the future, I believe. And so we do on-camera workshops with that, as well as film their monologues for a online showcase. So we do have, and we're working in a lot more acting for film, because we do realize that's where a lot of kids are headed these days, because they have so much at their disposal now, you mm-hmm. know? And so television and film becomes a big component in acting training. So yeah, we are definitely adding more of that into our pedagogy.
Well, that's great to hear. Talk to me about performance opportunities at SMU, both school-sponsored main stages, and if there's any student-led productions. What are the possibilities?
The main stages, of course, many possibilities. We do about 6 a year. And so all the kids audition for that, those shows, for the spring and the fall. We also have SMUST, which is an acronym for SMU Student Theater, which is run exclusively by the students. The kids elect a board of seniors every year, and sometimes a couple of juniors. And that board then is responsible for taking in the applications or the submissions from their peers. I want to work on this show, or work on this devised piece, or new piece, or old piece, whatever they want to work on, it's up to them. And then the board chooses like 6 shows to do each semester. And they have modest budgets, like off-Broadway budgets. And they actually produce their own work. We have no say in it whatsoever. Now, we will come watch. And I would say to a student, very good. Now, you know what you're working on in acting. I want you to continue to work on A, B, C, D, F, and G. And then we leave them alone. And then when we do auditions, we have a very wonderful connected community of professional theaters here in town. And when they have a role that is appropriate for one of our students, we have this connection with these theaters like the Undermain, Dallas Theater Center, Jubilee, Theater 3, where they will come to our semester auditions. And if anyone they're interested in casting will allow them to be cast, if the student's grades up to par, if they're not underwater, as it were, then we will allow them to participate in the production outside of the school. So a lot of kids will gain equity points, like the kids who are going to be in the Sound of Music at Dallas Theater Center, or the ones who just closed A Christmas Carol at Dallas Theater Center. They're getting equity points and things of this nature. So those are also opportunities that we can offer to the students as well. So those are the three big main performing opportunities that are available to our kids. Students.
That's wonderful. Let's chat a little bit about, you're in Dallas, and you've mentioned some of the wonderful arts organizations that are around the university. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us a little bit more about sort of the area where the school is? I always say students eventually leave campus for something. Yeah. So tell us sort of what there is to do around that area and what student life is like.
Well, one of the great things is we're in a huge metropolitan area, of course, Dallas-Fort Worth area, so there's plenty for the kids to do when they have time. but Dallas, we're only like a 10-minute drive to downtown. We can see downtown from campus. And near downtown areas, Deep Ellum, where all the blues clubs and the funky restaurants and stuff like that, and so the kids, you know, can hang out there sometimes. But there's plenty of stuff to do in Dallas. The neighborhood that SMU sits in is Highland Park, and Highland Park is a very, very wealthy neighborhood, I would say. So the kids are surrounded by a very wealthy, very safe environment, I would say. And it's a very beautiful campus, and we're just hemmed in on all sides by a freeway and these beautiful mansions in North Dallas. And so
could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. So it's great for the kids because they can, you know, there's things to do around the immediate campus areas, you know, like nice little restaurants and cafes and things of that nature. But if they ever wanted to get away from campus, they can hop on public transportation or hop in their cars, because this is car culture in Texas, and they can drive, you know, downtown or in these other little hot spots around Dallas. You have to have a car, you know, you hit the different little areas in a town like Dallas. And so they have a lot available to them as far as like the environment, the city.
That's great. So let's imagine that we are a freshman theater student just starting at SMU. Mm-hmm. Can you sort of take us through their journey the first year in their training and what they're going to study and what a typical week looks like? You mentioned when they have time, so it sounds like it's an intensive program.
Yeah.
So let's get an idea of that.
Well, the first year when all the kids first arrive, I mean, let's face it, they're 18. Some of them 17, about to turn 18, you know? And mm-hmm. lovely as they are, it's the first time away from home, being on their own. And we use the first semester for them to acclimate. They're not allowed, they're not in the audition pool, for example. And we want to give them that first semester to acclimate. Also, the acting teacher for the first year is also our chair, John Blake Hackler. And he's wonderful. His philosophy for that first semester is we have kids coming from all over the country, if indeed from South America and, you know, a couple of other countries. And his philosophy is take away everything. Get the kids back down to, I don't know anything. Let's start from a foundation and build, because kids are coming in with all kinds of ideas and philosophies, depending on what they've learned in high school, etc. So he just sort of strips them of text, strips them of everything, and it turns into a very body conscious, a very physical conscious first semester, where they're really getting into their bodies, where they're really doing things without words or very little text. And then in the next semester, they are put into the casting pool, and he begins to add text on top of that. But what he does for that first semester, which is so wonderful, which includes Suzuki and all other different kinds of movement classes that we have with our wonderful Sarah Rammensberger, he just strips everybody away of their preconceived notions of what is and what isn't acting in theater, mm-hmm. and says, let's all start from a place where we don't know, where we're ready to just go explore. And it mm-hmm. is transformative. It's wonderful. It's a great way to get the kids open and ready for the next 2-3.5 years of work as they progress, as they matriculate through the program. Again, did I answer your question?
You did. You absolutely did. And then just one more time, just so I'm clear, because you mentioned it in the beginning of the podcast. So there's two tracks. And are those, is that the same, what you just mentioned for both tracks that
yes.
first year? And they split their third year
it's
into
split
more specified
the junior year. Yeah, they're all one big group of actors, no matter if they're acting track or acting theater studies track for their freshman and sophomore years. So they're working
Great.
As a huge, big ensemble. And then they split up in two different classes in their junior and senior years, but they're all still actors. It's just that the actors in the acting theater studies track, they have playwriting and directing and stage management sometimes. You know what? Everyone has stage management. So
of course.
They're all together in that first year, and they're all being mm-hmm. stripped in the most beautiful way by Blake Hackler. And so, yeah, that's how it works for the first 2 years, that they're all together and then it splits in the junior year.
Wonderful. And a conservatory program within a university, so there are gen ed requirements
yes.
From the university.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what's required of the students?
Well, the great thing about being in a conservatory inside of a liberal arts university is you have a very set sort of 4 years of training. So they know how to register for that. They just have to put everything else around it that is required by the university, the history, the math, et cetera, et cetera. And they are required to take at least 16 to 18 hours full-time student per semester. So they're taking on a lot, not only their acting classes, but they're also taking on, you know, their math, their histories, etc. And many of them have double majored. So they have a double major in like journalism or history or Spanish or foreign language. And so it's a busy 4 years for them.
Something that I always like to ask for clarification on is when the name of the school or university has something in it that leads toward a particular religious affiliation.
Right.
And obviously Southern Methodist University would lead us to believe that it is a university that follows the Methodist faith. So if you could talk to us a little bit about how that is ingrained in the curriculum or in student life. I just want to make sure that our students who may not be Methodist or Christian might feel on campus.
They will feel most welcome. It's in title only. The Methodist Church does not run the university. I mean, it supports a university, of course, but it, when I say it doesn't run the university, I mean it doesn't dictate to the university the teachers to hire, what you should, the courses should be more conservative or more middle of the road. No, it is none of that. It is in, I will briefly say it is in name only because it's supported by the university, but many of our students, especially in the arts, I mean, you know, they're all over the place with, you know, mm-hmm. various faiths, beliefs, et cetera. No beliefs, if they mm-hmm. so choose. It, no. It's a very progressive, open campus. Though a lot of the students on campus, you know, they, I mean, I won't mince words. SMU is a private school. And it's got some wealth. So it's a very private school, but it is by no means dictated to by the Methodist Church. That just happens to be the people who, like Baylor, is supported by the Baptist Church. But it does not mean that the Baptists or the Methodists dictate what should or should not be taught in the university. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a big problem at all.
Okay. And on the other side of that, if a student is Methodist, what are there regular Methodist services or some schools with religious affiliations have scholarship dollars available to members of the church and things like that? Is there what is available to students who are Methodist?
Well, to students who are Methodist, we have a Methodist church right off of Mockingbird at the front of the campus that's been there. And that's the one where President Bush attends, I believe, but and President Bush and Laura Bush attend, First Lady, I should say. I do not know about if the Methodist Church offers Methodist students scholarships. Now, I have to claim ignorance on that. I do not know.
Well, we will do some research and find that out, too. If I remember correctly, I had a client at one point that was a Methodist minister, and her daughter was working on college auditions, and I believe that she got something, but we will check that out and make sure that
it
the
could
correct
be.
Information
I,
is included in the podcast.
I do not know, but it could be. But to just wind up the question, no, it's in name and title only. But the school wants to make you, the university wants to make everyone feel welcome on campus. So, therefore, we have many different organizations, you know, of many different faiths and beliefs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Many different organizations, LGBTQ, a small Islamic organization, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very diverse. And we have a very diverse group of students who probably are not of the Christian faith, I would say. So.
Great. Great. Let's switch gears now and talk about the audition process. And this is going to probably be released just after the February auditions are over for Unified. So let's start with where you hold your auditions.
Well, with Unifieds, like mm-hmm. you said, we do Unified. So we're in LA, New York, and Chicago. We do a lot of on-campus auditions. And I've been very fortunate that about 5 years ago, I devised a 5-year audition plan to sort of expand our audition territory because I wanted more kids from just very different diverse areas. And so I have been on the road traveling a great deal for the last 5 years, well, minus the last year and a half due to COVID. But I usually attend a lot of the larger conventions like FTC. We also go to Oregon. We hit the Midwest. We try to hit the different regions, the Midwest, the East Coast, the South, and Southwest. So I'm traveling all around to these different places, vetting a lot of kids, calling back a lot of them. And so we're from the East Coast to the West Coast, outside of the big ones like FTC or the Unifieds. So I've gone to the Mid-Atlantic mm-hmm. in New Jersey,
And I also do many, many workshops where I will actually go to a high school like Fordham School of the Arts in New York City in the Bronx. And I will host a workshop and audition kids. And we do have kids from that school here and possibly will have some next year. So I also take the opportunity to go to different places and also audition, like next year if COVID is under some kind of control. Mm-hmm. Hopefully,
knock on wood.
I hope to knock on wood. I hope to travel even down to South Texas where they have a big convention like FTC and audition those kids in South Texas. And we also used to have the North Texas auditions, which were huge. And we're pivoting from that. That's gone now since COVID. So we just do the big audition tour, wherever those are the big ones. We'll get a chance to see a lot of kids, call them back, audition them for our program, and then send them out yay or nay letters.
Wonderful. Do you pre-screen?
Yes. We've learned to pre-screen simply because of COVID. So if someone is interested in our program, we will have them send a pre-screen audition tape. And we will watch it. And if there is that interest, we will call them back for a callback audition. And we'll try to schedule that callback audition on one of our audition dates. Like right now, they're all virtual. So we're able to like watch someone on one date and go, yeah, lovely. Why don't you come to our auditions, our virtual auditions on February the 11th, and we'll use that audition for you as a callback. So we do pre-screen so that we can get them into the callback, because it's not just about doing the monologue for us. As my wonderful colleague and partner in crime, as I call her, and Professor Ann Schilling says, we're also interviewing. The interview is equally as important as the audition process itself, because we want to get to know the kid a little bit in the 15-minute slot of time.
That's great. So approximately how many pre-screens do you see every year? It might be a difficult answer for you, because you do sort of cast a wide net with all the workshops and things.
Yeah, it's a lot. Well, the big basic number, and I know this may sound outrageous, but it's true. In a normal year where there's no pandemic.
What is that like? I don't remember that.
I don't know. We have auditioned and screened and vetted up to 22 to 2300 students in a year.
And so out of...
And that's traveling to the different... That's going from Oregon and Seattle to their festival of auditions, to California, to the Oakland School of the Arts, where we have a couple of places. So I'm all over the place, and we're not only the big ones that we see at FTC. When we would see like 200 kids at like Florida Theater Conference, and then you maybe call back maybe 20 of those kids. So we talk to those 20, but you know as well as I do, when you're sitting at FTC or North Texas Auditions or whatever, you're there all day watching hundreds of kids strut across the boards and strut their stuff. You know what I mean? And so we count those along with those that we call back to actually interview and audition. And the ones that we call back to actually interview and audition can be up to at least 500 students outside of the 1,500 that we've seen.
So I think I just followed those numbers. If how many then do you... Out of those pre-screens or people that you see, how many do you invite to live auditions?
We invite to live auditions about anywhere from between 250 to 300 kids that we'll
That's
invite.
Great. And
back to live auditions. But then again, you have to keep in mind that a lot of times a kid will come to a callback at like an FTC to talk to us about our program. They're very interested, but then they decide not to audition later on because they want to go be on one of the coasts, which often happens. So of that, the 250 to 350 kids that we call back to audition, we try to then whittle it down to the top 100 so that we can whittle it down to our top 25 to 30.
And that is the size of your incoming classes, 25 to 30? And so is that...
Sometimes it goes up to maybe like 32, 33.
Is that inclusive of both of the acting tracks or? Okay.
Yes.
And there's no predetermined breakdown as to who is the theater studies and who's the actor track.
Yeah, we ask them. We talk to them when we audition. Great. We give them the spiel that I just gave you. Well, to everyone in the podcast, actually. And they make a decision because many are like, oh my God, I just wrote a play and I had a great time directing it as well. Mm-hmm. I love that. So then they go, I'm thinking acting theater studies track. So they get in the acting theater studies track, right? But they can change their minds their junior year. They can come to SMU, as many have done, and they would direct something in their freshman or sophomore year, and they'll go, I never, ever want to do that again. And then we put them in the acting track, whereas someone in the acting track will come and direct something and go, I love that. And then we'll sit and talk to the actor and go, why do you like directing? And if it's like, I see the vision, I see the picture, I love working with the actors as we interpret, we go, okay. If they come to us and go, I love telling people what to do, no, you're going to stay in acting track. So we kind of talk the student through it to find out why they want to be in directing or playwriting as opposed to acting track, and then we'll advise them accordingly. But the kids very much start off knowing that I want acting track or acting theater studies track for their first 2 years. And within those 2 years of working, they have an opportunity to go, you know, I'm sticking with acting track, or, you know, I want to write more and I want to direct more as well as act. So they have that opportunity to change at the end of this.
I love that. Being part of the 4 years in college is just as much about determining what your path is and realizing who you are and where your passions lie than it is that finish line of an acting degree or a BFA degree. So I really like to hear that.
Especially when you're 18 to 22 years old. You know what I mean? It's a very, very great learning time. I mean, it's different for grad kids because they kind of know. I mean, you kind of know what you want if you want to go to grad school. But as an undergrad, it's like, let's explore. I mean, great. Let's write a play. Let's see what happens. You know, produce it in the smust or do an independent production. And so they really do get a chance to explore themselves as writer or writer actor director while they're here.
My listeners and my students know that I always use that as an example and say, ask your parents if they're doing exactly what they thought they were going to be doing when they were 17 years old. And most of them will say no. I certainly know that I am not doing what I thought I was going to be doing, but I found something that I enjoy more than what I thought I was going to do. So what a great opportunity in a college program to be able to explore that and not sort of be tied down to one thing. So bravo to you for doing that and allowing that to happen. As we begin to wrap up today, tell us some things that you are looking forward to in the coming semester.
It's, again, we have a really great lineup of productions. We do a rep of new plays that are being directed by our senior director actors. We also have a play by an alumni who's doing very well out there. We're doing his a production of his new play. And I'm looking forward to that going up. That starts rehearsals now, as a matter of fact. And the rep shows, that are the two shows that are being directed by our seniors, will go up in March or April. And I'm looking forward to those, as well as our New Visions, New Voices, which is new plays by our senior playwrights that the actors are all cast in and direct, and we get a chance to hear the latest full-length play by the playwright actor. I'm looking forward to these things, but I'm doing it with a little bit of caution, simply because we're living in an age of a pandemic, and will we have to pivot back to online presentations as we did last year? So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the auditions and seeing what falls out of the auditions as far as assembling a class for 2022. So that's what I'm looking at with a little bit of skepticism, only because Omicron seems to be redefining the word pandemic. So that's what I'm really optimistic about and looking forward to, but it's kind of like, yeah, but there's the caveat of Omicron.
Right, let's will it away. All right. So if someone wants to get to know more information about SMU, who do they reach out to or how can they get in contact?
Most certainly get in contact with me at SMU as being head of undergraduate theater recruitment. And should I provide you?
Absolutely, if you'd like to do that.
Oh, okay. But it's A as in apple, B as in boy, Cummings, Cummings, @smu.edu. Send me an inquiry. I'll get back with you ASAP. I'd love to hear from kids because it's always exciting because you're always looking and going, yes, you may be the kid who's in the 2022 class, as I tell everyone who auditions for us. It's not about you coming in to impress us. this is a two-way street. This is an interview for you and for us. We're trying to find out things about you. Now, we want you to ask us questions and find out things about us. Find out if this is where you need to be, if this is the type of program you need to be in. So, it's a whole big auditioning thing coming up and vetting the students. And I look forward to that and looking forward to what we have coming up in 2022 and seeing what falls out of this crazy, crazy
right.
time to be
right.
auditioning.
Well, Bernard, it has been an amazing journey today getting to know more about SMU. And I thank you once again so much for joining us
Great.
Today.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't too much of a stream of consciousness, because sometimes I get rolling, Tim, and
I'll
tell you.
You and me both. It was actually great. I learned some stuff about the program today as well. And we hope to be in touch with you soon about doing some workshops and things with us.
But just to wind up that sentence, they can just email me and I will answer any questions
sure.
they may have.
Of course. Wonderful. Well, you have a great day and we look forward to talking to you again real soon. All right.
Well, thank you, Tim. Thank you for inviting not only me, but
of
our
course.
Program. And
been our great. Pleasure. Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.